detail cover story this week is Federal Minister Josh Frydenberg, who is in Israel standing alongside the Australian Ambassador Dave Sharma at an Anzac Day commemoration in the Holy Land. Josh Frydenberg, the Minister for the Environment and Energy, he actually spoke at that commemoration and he said, "From that darkness and horror emerged a beacon of light for Australia's national identity was forged on that battlefield." He says that values that were solidified include endurance, courage, ingenuity and mateship, especially in the face of adversity. We have full coverage of Josh Frydenberg's trip in this week's edition. He ended his visit on a high with a standing ovation at a business lunch in Tel Aviv. He says at the end of the day, the economics is one thing, but the friendship is always much more important. He told Australian and Israeli business leaders he's in Israel on a visit arranged by the Australian government to make progress on issues discussed during Benjamin Netanyahu's February trip to Australia. But it was a trip needed that went beyond bilateral relations and trade ties, as it covered the emotional highs of Anzac Day, which he marked at a Jerusalem ceremony, and also Yom HaShoah, which he commemorated at Israel's national ceremony at Yad Vashem. He spoke to the AJN and said that he comes from a family of Holocaust survivors. The message that resonated with him was from political leaders who said never again, and that Israel needs to be strong. Now, Nitzer, during his four-day visit, Josh Frydenberg signed a joint declaration of intent on environmental cooperation with Israel's environment minister, Zev Elkin. Your listeners might remember in 2016, Zev Elkin actually visited Sydney from Israel and met with Josh Frydenberg. And now it's Josh's turn to go to Israel. And as I said, they signed that pact. A very exciting time for our two nations. And this comes on the back, Nitzer, of February's visit from Benjamin Netanyahu.
And we are talking to Evan Zlatke, senior journalist for the Australian Jewish News. Evan, the AJN has a beautiful supplement for Yom HaTzmaut. What is in the supplement?
Nitzer, it's time to celebrate. Israel is turning 69 next week, and there will be celebrations right across the community. And we have a special supplement in this week's edition of the AJN with a range of articles to mark the occasion. It's, of course, 120 years that since Theodor Herzl convened and addressed the very first Zionist Congress. It's a century since the British government agreed to support the establishment of a Jewish state. It's also 100 years ago that the Anzac Charge at Be'er Sheva paved the way for the establishment of Israel. And I've got a special article this week where I interviewed six communal leaders who shared their reflections and recollections 50 years on since the Six-Day War. You won't want to miss that special Yom HaTzmaut edition in this week's paper.
Evan, I would like to refer to the Yom HaShoah commemorations in Sydney and in Melbourne. Would you like to recapture it for us?
Well, as you said, there were commemorations in Sydney and Melbourne honouring the 6 million Jews that passed away in the Holocaust. The focus of the Sydney commemoration was children and the Shoah. The audience heard moving testimony from child survivor Charlotte Vidor, who described hiding in a cupboard while the soldiers liquidated the nearby ghetto and then escaping with the help of a janitor. A very moving recollection from Charlotte Vidor at the Sydney commemoration. The keynote speaker was, of course, Morris Gleitzman, the children's author who spoke, and Lior, the Israeli-Australian singer-songwriter, also performed very movingly for the audience. And of course, the six candles were lit in honour of the victims, and also moving ceremonies across Melbourne. And you can read all about it in this week's edition.
Evan, not everybody was sympathetic to the Shoah, especially not the young Greens.
Yeah, that's right, Nitzer. The New South Wales Young Greens have come under fire yet again. They've been criticised this time for stating on Yom HaShoah that both the Liberal and Labor parties love locking people in concentration camps. Now, this comment was part of a graphic that was posted on the New South Wales Young Greens Facebook page designed to show how the Greens are different to the major parties. But this comment on Yom HaShoah was met with fierce criticism. One Facebook user noted that it was Yom HaShoah and asked why they would use the term concentration camp for political point scoring. They said, "This is deeply offensive to me and to many other Jews. You can argue about human rights conditions, but pick a different word. Concentration camps are linked with Nazi Germany and some of humanity's worst ever atrocities. I hope you will apologize at least for this." We reported recently that the New South Wales Young Greens actually declined an invitation to attend an orgious event which caused a stir earlier this year. They're at it again, Nitzer.
We are talking to Evan Slatke, senior journalist for the Australian Jewish News. Evan, a store owner in Cairns in Queensland put a sign, "No Israelis," outside his shop. What's the story?
Well, the story, as you said, it's a piercing shop in Cairns, and the owner has actually apologized for offending the Jewish community, but he's also defended his actions. This all started when an Israeli tourist posted on Facebook her experience in this shop in Queensland when she and her friend went to get their noses pierced. Now, the owner asked this lady where she was from, and when she said Israel, he said he couldn't serve her out of principle. She put on Facebook, he said he doesn't agree with what our government in Israel does, and therefore we are not welcome in his shop. She says you can't discriminate people out of principle. He even pointed out a sign that we missed saying no Israelis served here. Now, he spoke to the Jewish News this week, the owner of that store. His name is Mark Bryce, and he said that he apologizes to any of the Jewish community that have taken this the wrong way. He says it has nothing to do with the Jewish community. He says the sign was a statement about the Palestinian and Israeli issue. He says he supports BDS, which he claims is a peaceful movement, and says we don't condone violence. So Nita, the owner of that store, has taken down the sign. He's apologized to the Jewish community, but he's defended his actions.
Evan, before we go, Feldman takes Trigabov to court. The saga continues.
It never ends, Nita. Your listeners will be well aware of this saga. Rabbi Pinchas Feldman, whose organizations have received millions of dollars from Harry Trigabov over the last few decades, he actually took him to court last week. Now, Trigabov's company, Meriton, which owns Yeshiva's Flood Street property, contacted Rabbi Feldman and several members of his family to say that their leases for offices and the synagogue within Yeshiva would end and they needed to leave by April 20. But on April 19, lawyers representing the synagogue and the Talmudical College Association, of which Rabbi Feldman is actually a director, filed a motion to prevent the eviction. Last Thursday, the day of the proposed eviction, the court adjourned the matter, which meant that Rabbi Feldman would stay past the April 20 deadline. Rabbi Feldman's son, Yossi, was at court for the hearing, needs, and he actually said, "This is our first victory of many over Harry Trigabov. We'll all be watching this court case very closely."
Evan Slatke, senior journalist for the Australian Jewish News. Thank you very much. Yom Atzmaut Sameach, and have a great week.